DW.
I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States.
50 years ago, Robert Francis Kennedy, younger brother of murdered American President John F. Kennedy, seemed destined to follow in his brother's footsteps as he announced that he would be running for the White House.
Because I want the Democratic Party and the United States of America to stand for hope instead of despair, for reconciliation of men instead of the growing risk of world war.
RFK, as he became known, offered hope to a country that had been tearing itself apart.
The country wants to move in a different direction. We want to deal with our own problems within our own country, and we want peace in Vietnam. So, my thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there. Thank you.
But as he and his supporters celebrated making progress in the race to be crowned Democratic presidential candidate, he was gunned down at close range. 24 hours later, he was dead, and the hopes and dreams of many Americans died with him. But who was RFK?
You know, he was different, and you don't see the likes of him very much. You just don't.
Hollywood actress and singer Connie Stevens knew the Kennedys and also participated in RFK's campaign in 1968.
You just had the feeling that if you had a flat tire, he'd come and change it, you know, if he were driving by. There aren't that many people that would. He was a gentleman, and he wasn't a big man, but he sort of carried a big stick, so to speak. You respected him, you listened to what he said, and he had a lot of charisma.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
Robert Kennedy's journey to one where he was respected by the civil rights movement, by the working poor and by anti-war protesters hadn't been a smooth one. As campaign manager for his brother John F. Kennedy's presidential bid, he developed a reputation for being a tough operator.
And you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, or the times they are a-changing.
Former RFK aide and speechwriter Jeff Greenfield.
Robert Kennedy came to prominence as a lawyer on a Senate committee investigating corruption in the labor movement. One of our biggest unions, the Teamsters, was essentially a subsidiary of organized crime. And his confrontation with people like a very tough-minded Teamster president was very tough. When he was John Kennedy's campaign manager, he had a reputation for being extremely demanding, impatient. You know, I don't really care what happens to you. I want to get my brother elected. And that helps account for the cliche of ruthlessness. But even in those days, there was another side to him that friends talk about, a certain kind of compassion.
Welcome everyone to the Kennedy Library.
Here at the JFK Library in Massachusetts, there's a whole section dedicated to Robert Kennedy, including many of the items that would adorn his huge office when he was appointed Attorney General at the age of just 35.
We're looking at the Attorney General's telephone, and it even has the phone number at the time, Republic 78200, extension 2001. That's Robert Kennedy's telephone number.
Philip Johnston was part of RFK's 1968 campaign, having been very impressed with Kennedy's track record.
He took civil rights very seriously, collaborated with the civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King and others, and I think that he felt very strongly about social justice and fairness.
JFK's decision to appoint his younger brother, who had very little experience, was not initially popular, though.
President Kennedy joked, he said, well, I thought I should give Bobby some legal experience before he goes out to practice law. So the New York Times, for instance, denounced the appointment. And then later, when Robert Kennedy left the position, they said he had probably been the greatest attorney general in American history, which I think is true.
A dark page in the annals of America has been written to the crack of an assassin's bullet. A nation mourns, the world grieves. The man who became 35th president less than 3 years ago is dead. As always, democracy finds its strength in the continuity of the presidency. Lyndon B. Johnson becomes the 36th president of the United States just 99 minutes after his predecessor's life had ebbed away.
The assassination of President John F. Kennedy in 1963 was a huge blow for the country and for his younger brother, Robert, as family friend Stephen Schlesinger remembers.
his brother's assassination kind of stripped away all the armor that he'd had before that had kind of allowed him to drive through life and exposed all the deepest emotions he had about caring about, you know, the dispossessed and the poor.
RFK was elected as the senator for New York in 1964, but it soon became clear that he had higher ambitions. He was an outspoken opponent of Lyndon B. Johnson, who had taken over after his brother's death.
There'd been riots in Detroit. The crescendo of the civil rights movement was reaching its apex. There was a feeling of disarray in American politics with the Vietnam War now grinding on for yet another year. There was a tension that was something you could cut a knife with. And so the need for somebody to challenge Johnson seemed like an overwhelming one.
And so Robert Kennedy's bid for the White House began.
It was something beyond anything anybody had seen in American politics before. I mean, when Kennedy went off campaigning, he was like a rock star. People were tearing at his clothes and trying to get a piece of him. There was a magical feeling about him.
Photographer David Kennelly first met RFK in 1966, and 2 years later was following the election campaign with great interest.
Everybody wanted to reach out and touch him, and he was always speaking right in the middle of people. I mean, he was accessible. I mean, that's one of the reasons Sirhan was in a position to shoot him. I mean, he had one bodyguard, a guy by the name of Bill Berry, who had been an FBI agent. But as a photographer, it was fun to photograph him because there was so much excitement about it, particularly young people.
I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
In April of that year, when the news broke of the death of Martin Luther King, who Robert Kennedy had become a huge supporter of, he perfectly captured the mood of the people at the time.
I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times.
And 8 weeks later, he was well on his way to being named the Democratic presidential candidate for the 1968 election.
I would hope now that the California primary is finished, that we could now concentrate on having a dialogue or a debate, I hope, between the vice president and perhaps myself on what direction we want to go in the United States.
Just after midnight on the morning of the 5th of June, he gave a victory speech in the ballroom of the Ambassador Hotel. It was as he left the stage and headed downstairs via the kitchen that his assassin stepped forward and opened fire. Jeff Greenfield again.
We'd seen Kennedy's victory speech, very good-natured, very good-humored, very optimistic. And then literally like 2 minutes later, images came on the screen showing what had happened, that he'd been shot.
Photographer David Kennelly, who'd been covering the event in the ballroom, remembers the chaos in the wake of the shooting.
At that point, I'm just trying to get down to the next spot, and then this rumor went through the crowd about the shooting. And so I ran outside, and there was an ambulance. It looks like they'd already just put him in the back of the ambulance. I didn't see him, but I have a photo of Ethel Kennedy kind of through the door. You can see her inside.
Kennelly rushed to the hospital, hoping to get some decent pictures and some good news.
I was up there however many hours later that was when I believe Pierre Salinger came out and announced that he had died.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
A funeral was held 2 days after Robert Kennedy's death, and thousands of mourners looked on as his body was transported from New York to Washington, D.C. by private train. Sirhan Sirhan was convicted of his murder and sentenced to death, but it was commuted to life in prison after California banned the death penalty. Sirhan, whose lawyers continually protest his innocence in the case, is still in prison 50 years later. So, 50 years on, how is Robert Francis Kennedy remembered? Connie Stevens again.
A lot of people believed in Bobby Kennedy. He would have been a great president. When he said something, you knew that he meant it.
Nixon was not a popular figure in the country in many respects, and I think Bobby would have been elected president, and I think he would have, he would have had the same problems that Obama had, but he combined this compassion with fearlessness. He was one of a kind.
And Philip Johnston went on to help found and run the Robert F. Kennedy Children's Action Corps.
Thousands of the most troubled young people in Massachusetts and other states around the country have been helped by the organization. So I think Robert Kennedy would be very proud that his name is associated with that organization.
So it may be 50 years on, but the memory of Robert Kennedy is still strong in the minds of many. And through the Children's Corps and the RFK Human Rights Foundation, his legacy is very much alive. This is Ashley Byrne for DW.
This report was brought to you by DW.